It's supposed to have Rabbi Lapiansky address us this evening. Really have to thank Shmuel Sherman, who arranged for this event. He's a dear Talmud of Rabbi Lapiansky, and we spoke about this over the last few weeks, and Baruch Hashem, we were able to arrange it for this evening on short notice. Baruch Hashem, some of the locals are taking advantage to hear the Torah from Rabbi Lapiansky. In the years I spent in the Mir Yeshiva, it was known that Rabbeinu Shvinkel had five daughters, all married to eminent Talmid Chachamim, but we only were exposed to four of them. You learn in the Mir Yeshiva, you get to know four of the members of the Hanhala, and Rabbi Lapiansky was always the one shrouded in mystery. We didn't know much about him. We knew that he moved to America, but we weren't exposed to him directly. But even before this very impressive volume was put out, not so recent, within the past year, I got to know Rabbi Lapiansky from some of the things he had written prior, and specifically from his Svarim on Tefillah, which we use actually here in Shul, and the Tefillah Shiurim. So we've all benefited from his beautiful Svarim, and this through this specific Sefer has touched the chord of many of the Balabatim in our community and in general, where we see the depth of his thought and the focus that he brings to each and every one of us through the Sefer, the importance of maintaining a strong kesher to Talmud Torah, to Avodas Hashem, for those who are in the workforce. And I can say, even if you're not in the workforce, as most of you are, in a different kind of workforce, it's just as important. I was just reading it over the last couple of days. Definitely very, very important for all of us. As a very eminent menahel in this neighborhood wrote me an email when he saw that Rabbi Lapiansky was going to be speaking this evening. He said it's a must read for every balabas. So if he said it, I can say the same. So we're very grateful to Shmuel Sherman and his family who made this happen. And without further ado, Rabbi Lapiansky.
It is very special to be here. I mean, we went through a lot in yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, very proud of him and many of our alumni, and it's a schus to be able to be part of his life, even our Talmidim's lives, even after he leaves yeshiva. I want to speak a little bit about something that seems so anticlimactic. Pesach, the incredible amount of avodah in Pesach, the incredible amount of hispailus leading up to Pesach, the agodah, everything with it is incredible. And we're not high. Sefiras HaOmer is a mitzvah, it's a chashuv mitzvah, but what more can you add? I mean, what is it that you can get out of Sefiras HaOmer that you didn't get out of Pesach? So they're all a hachana for Matan Torah. But if you couldn't do it with a Pesach Seder and with matzah and maror and everything else that goes into the Haggadah, is there something added? I mean, it almost seems, yes, it's a mitzvah and it's a chiyuv and we do it every night and it's fine. But what is it in the big picture, what is it adding? It's almost like I'll say with a joke, it's probably dated because a few people would know it, but once upon a time, communist China was the big country, had a billion people about, and Albania was the smallest communist country, had a million. And they were the only ones that were friends. Everybody else was in Russia. And when they came to visit, the Albanians had a big banner, us and the Chinese together are a billion strong. So it's like Pesach is everything, and this is also a chana. So I'd like to try to understand that despite the fact that maybe because it's less glamorous, there's something so much more important possibly, so much that is a necessity in the concept of the assignment that we need to apply. I want to start, I'll read a small piece from Reb Tzadik. And it's this beginning, Reb Tzadik is Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik, probably his most known Sefer, not on the Torah. His very first piece goes like this. Reishis Knisas Adam Avodas Hashem, Tzorech Lios B'Chipazon. Every first step of a person in Avodas Hashem needs to be done impulsively, hastily, B'Chipazon. Kemosha Matzina Pesach Mitzrayim. Why? Mipnei Shehascholo lenatik atzmo mikol tavasolom hazeh shumikusha behem tzorech lishma harega shemes orba ritzon Hashem. In order to break from whatever else the person has been tied to, you need to do it in a moment. You need to jump on that moment and to do it. Ula yuchal, maybe you'll be able. V'acharkach shuv yelech b'mesinus ula'at kin pesdos. And then go slow. That's what he says. So he's starting his sefer. I don't know, this farm is not terribly in order, but this I assume is his first work that he's publishing at least. And he says the first opening, the opening to Avodas Hashem starts with chipazon, to do it suddenly, to break away from what there is and grab the moment. My Rebbe Chaim Sholevitz, when he says shmuzen, he loved paradoxes. And he would, even in his Gemara, he would occasionally like to say a paradox. And in his Musa Shmuz, I remember there was one he said a few times. He said that there was somebody who was a very big Talmud Chacham in Europe. He didn't mention the name, I guess because of the story. How had he become that? He said he was a good Bacham Voloshin. And one day by dinner, he was sitting with a few other Bacham. Someone asked him a question. He didn't know. And then the person showed him that it's in Furash HaTaisis that he missed. He said he was so devastated, he picked himself up in the middle of the meal, ran off to some small Beis Medrash in town, and sat and learned for the next who knows how many years, and he grew up to be whoever he was. Now, he didn't bench. He picked himself up without benching and ran there. So Chaim said, this is the way he would phrase it, was he allowed to leave without benching? Certainly not. Would he have done what he did if he had stayed to benching? No. How do you understand it? It's a paradox. But his point was there are times when you have to grab a moment, and you don't have, if you don't grab that particular moment, then the opportunity is gone. It cools off and it's gone. So this sort of reinforces this concept that grabbing the moment and running with it is that what's important about us Hashem. Okay. But when he says, and then we go slowly, is that a license? In other words, you don't have to run the whole time. It's just the beginning you have to run. But afterwards, the continuation of it slowly, is that mandatory? Or is that something that you can do? What is it? Which one is it? At first glance, we would say to ourselves, well, if this is such a powerful tool that you can do it straight out and a person can reach unbelievable heights, etc., then this would be great if you do it all the time. Would it not? And the answer is no. And I want to explain it with a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. And this Rambam is an incredible Rambam in understanding both Hashgafic point and understanding a person's own nature and what it's about. The Rambam is the famous Rambam it's in Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Beis, where he deals with, he is explaining the concept of Karbonis. The Rambam is a unique Shita, it's an outlier of a Shita, it's a Shita that no one else subscribes to, but it's a Shita. But the underpinnings of what he says certainly apply. I think everyone would hold it. The Rambam says the point of Karbanis was to wean them off Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah included Karbanos. It was universal. This is every Avodah Zarah. You couldn't possibly just tell them to drop it all. So we needed a process. So he said, okay, you can keep doing what you're doing it, but l'shem shemayim. And the Rambam has many problems, what's going to be lost at Lavo and so on. Not our inyan, it's not what we're dealing with. I want to deal with the understanding where the Rambam himself is anticipating a problem. He says, I know that you're going to be very upset with this. And he says, v'tashaleni b'libcha v'tomali. You're going to wonder, How is it that Hashem didn't get to the point directly? You don't like Avodah Zarah? Say no Avodah Zarah and it's over with. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu go round and round and about? Do it, L'Shem Shemayim, and then we'll slowly win you off. Why would that be? He says, listen, he says, I will give you an answer, and you're going to, and he uses a sharp language about the misunderstanding, that this question is asked out of a deep misunderstanding of what Hashem wants of us, and a misunderstanding of people. I'm paraphrasing, so he says, I'll bring you a pasuk. It says, "V'lo nachem alekim derech eretz plishtim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to go straight to Eretz Yisrael, and he explains because they still didn't have the courage and the guts needed to fight the war, so he took them roundabout. So he says, so the first thing I see from this pasuk is that a circuitous route is appropriate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does use roundabout methods to get to the to what he wants to. And then he asks, okay, why? So he says like this. I'll try to read you the... A person, he says, Acha shekavones aloikai reshoinu ritsoinai. So he says, using that same train of thought, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just push the Torah down our throats? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep the Torah. Well, just push it down and make us do it. So he says like this, Tshuva achas kolalas, vihi, sheha osos kulam, even though every miracle is a fundamental change in the law of nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change human nature ever. And he explains, and I won't read inside, but he explains the following. The only way you can change human nature, not through a miracle, is through a process. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go with our nature and not against our nature. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, not what he could do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea. And there's no problem with that. Nisim are part and parcel of our world. But the purpose of mitzvahs is not that the mitzvahs get done, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say that all shofars blow and the shofars blow by themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to change, and by definition, change is only possible if it's part of the process, not outside. Let's give an example, so we don't understand what those words mean. Imagine I have Reuven over here, and I'd like him to be Shimon. And I wave my wand, and Reuven disappears. And I wave a wand the second time, and Shimon appears. I didn't change Reuven to Shimon. I simply killed Reuven, or made him disappear, and brought Shimon into the world. But there was not any process of change. The only change that, the only thing I can say is Reuven changed. A child changes into an adult because it's a slow, steady process where every step of the way, A causes B causes C causes D. So I see the child and the adult 20 years later, he didn't disappear, he became that. The world of Torah and mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of us is not that we get to Torah mitzvahs, it's that we become Anshei Torah mitzvahs, and that's only possible through a process. So let's go back with the Rambam. Let's go back to the point we started with. We're defining two different ways of getting from A to B. One is disjunct. I make a jump, and how A got to B, I have no idea. I know A is gone and B is here. That is something that I cannot say that nature of something changed. I have a different product. And then there is a continuous process where A becomes B, because A was just a precursor form to B. So the first, what Reb Tzadik says, is that the first step to Avodas Hashem requires something that's disjunct. A person, when he decides to do something, a person cannot keep going. If a person is really stuck, like God forbid, somebody who's addicted to something, heavily addicted, you can't slowly wean off. It's very difficult to wean off slowly because you're stuck and it'll keep pulling you back again. There's some breaking point where a person either is broken or he breaks. And we need to see a moment of breakaway. But that in itself can never solve the problem because the person hasn't changed. Whatever it is in his personality that has caused him to be what he is, he still is that. No amount of a moment's change in life changes the person. It's by definition like that. So if a person wants to break away, something like addiction, something we can see if we're tangible, it needs a break, and then it needs a process of transformation where a person, whatever it is the issue that the person got him into that situation, is slowly re-educated. The person is slowly re-educated and his personality has changed to become the person he should be or he is. Avodas Hashem, we were stuck in Mitzrayim. And no small increment of change could possibly have made that difference. Because we're stuck. So the breakaway was Shaloka Derech HaTeva. It had to be something that came sudden and it was a break. As now we're out of Mitzrayim, we're still over the Avodah Zarah. We're still people, we didn't change overnight. We broke away, but we didn't change. And that's the important piece. And that's what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, is that the key to changing a person is that it happened through a process. And that's why weaning away from Avodah Zarah could not happen in an instant, because we were deeply, it was entrenched in us. It was a cancer that had totally taken over. You can't just rip it out. What we needed was a slow moving away from it, and then we could become Ovdei Hashem. It's interesting, the Rambam says something like it in a, he speaks about what is the world of Midos. The Rambam holds it's a mitzvah's essay of Valachta Bedrachov. What we call Midos, the Rambam calls Deos, discusses it in Hilchos Deos, that's what it's about. And the Rambam, it covers everything that we consider Midos as being part of Valachta Bedrachov, as Mahu Afato. The Rambam says, how does a person do it? So the Rambam says, well, he does it and repeats it and repeats it and does it until it becomes second nature to him. And that's more or less the how the Rambam says that's called acquiring these midos. So I'm wondering the following. And the Rambam lists this as being what it's about. Let's try to understand that. If a person wants to know, he wants to become a mohel, a shochet, or anything else, any mitzvah that's complicated, how do you do it? You practice and practice and practice. A good shochet keeps practicing until he gets it right, and so on. You know, it's any halacha that is a good sofer. How does a person become a good sofer? Well, you practice and practice and practice until it becomes good. If the Rambam would have to give that advice on and on and on, I mean, it's technical advice. The Rambam does not usually give us technical advice. So if it had to become a good Soviet Rambam, the halach is the line is supposed to be straight, the letter is supposed to be whole. These are all the Hidurim Sefer. How does one do it? Well, that's a technical detail. Go and practice. So Rambam speaks about midos. Then why does the Rambam give us that advice? Of course, if a person wants to have good midos, practice them. That's obvious. I think the Rambam means something very different than the technical aspect of it. The Rambam means that if I give tzedakah, and I don't feel like giving tzedakah, but every time a poor guy comes in, I say to myself, the Rambam says, you have to give money. And I give it to him. It's good. It may not work. It may not. Sometimes I might lose it. I might not want to give. Okay, so for that, seek out advice. That's not the Rambam's business. And the same thing is true if a person doesn't feel like going to davening. And we're looking for eitzes, how to get yourself to go to davening. Those eitzes don't belong in Yad HaChazaka. That's not what he's talking about. A person who has to force himself ready to come to davening, he's mekayim the mitzvah and the fum tzara agra, and it's fine. Midos are about the person, not about the act. The difference, the stark difference between the valach the bedrachov and the mitzvahs are, the mitzvahs are acts that you do. How you do it, why you do it, might add a little bit, enhance the mitzvah if you do it with a good heart, if you do it with ava, if you do it with yira. But the mitzvah itself is to do a certain act. The chiyuv of midas is that the person become a different person. I remember I once had a cousin, a relative of mine, a young boy, a very bright boy, went to Brisk, and he became very sharp. Baruch Hashem, he's mellowed since then a long, long way. But he said, there's no such thing, I don't like this, nice people. No, there's a chiyuv to give tzedakah, there's a chiyuv to this, there's not a chiyuv, yes a chiyuv, no chiyuv, yes a chiyuv. But, I told him, you're dead wrong. That's the difference between Hilchos Deos and Hilchos Tzedakah. Chesed in Hilchos Deos is about the person, about being a nice person, a giving person, and tzedakah is about giving tzedakah. Those are two separate areas. One is a maisa and one is a person. So the difference between this area where you're changing a person to where you're doing particular maisa lies in the slowness of its development. Something which is revolutionary is sudden, and it leaves behind what was and starts anew. And something that's evolutionary is something that the object itself transforms itself and becomes something that really was within it all the time. Matan Torah required us to become the Anshei Kodesh, to become Amlechas Kohanim, and all of that. The Reb Chaim Vital speaks about why is it that Midos have mentioned the Torah, and he says because it's a prerequisite. It's not, Torah is given to Baal Midos. Midos are what you need to be accepting of the Torah. And if a person doesn't have it, then he doesn't have, then there's no way Torah can land on the person. So we needed to become people that could accept the Torah. That was the point of leaving Mitzrayim. The sudden and sharp breakaway was necessary, or else it's like a spaceship. As long as we're still within the tug of the gravity of the Earth, we'll never get any place because we'll always be schlepped back again. It needed something that was powerful and beyond. But progress can never go that way. We could never change. And psychologically, we always have a tendency to come back to our previous state. I saw Revolver writes in his Sefer, Revolver was extraordinary, besides being about Musa, he was a very keen understanding of human nature. And he speaks very strongly in Ali Shur, when he deals with the Musavadim and things of working on yourself, about small steps. And he has a fascinating insight why it's important. He says, the human body, the human being, rebels against change. It's one of the overarching, I guess, concepts in physiology is homeostasis. A person tends to be as he is. People's weight, people's functions tend to fall back to a certain point. And that's why anytime you make a radical change, a person is very sick and he doesn't eat for a few weeks, he will get it back usually afterwards when he gets better, because the body somehow has a sense of wanting to be wanting to be. It resists change. So as long as it's registered as being something different than you, so physically the body doesn't like it and the body readjusts itself. Psychologically, if a person feels, I'm acting not the way I normally am, I'm being pushed to be a bigger tzaddik than I am, a person's tendency is to fall back at some point. It's somewhere along the line psychologically he feels, I'm at an artificial high, and therefore it's not me. And nobody likes to do things that are not him. And that's why it is inevitably a person falls back and a lot of times regresses. I like to apply this a little bit and speak about, you know, I guess the title had to do with the Sefer as well and so on. I want to talk a little bit about this. Because, I don't know, I hate it when speakers speak about times are different and the old times, the new times in America and Europe and who knows what. But one of the continuing changes in society is the speed at which things happen. And therefore, we expect things to take place very rapidly. Everything moves, you know, communication and so many things have moved forward much more rapidly. We read something, we hear somebody, we go through some sort of event, and we feel very inspired. And people say they want to be inspired. Everybody wants to be inspired. Person has a Yom Kippur, person has a Seder that's special, person has a Yontif that he feels uplifted. Whatever it is, a person was inspired. We tend to believe that if the message was powerful enough, then it will do the job. And if later on I fell down, A, it might have been the original message wasn't inspiring enough, or maybe I need another shot and another inspiration. That's a mistake. Because even if I keep getting shots, it's like living on adrenaline. At some point, the body's going to run out. It's not. I haven't become more efficient. I've just pushed my body to work inefficiently. I'm eating myself up. The same thing is true psychologically. Same thing is true in Avodas Hashem. If a person keeps pushing himself, at some point it collapses, and it certainly gets no place. And then people get upset with the fact that it got no place, and they sort of fall back and becomes a vicious cycle, and people just give up. If we understood ourselves better, what Hashem wants from us, and what's going to happen, then at least we'd set ourselves up for some form of success. The starting point is always going to be inspiration, because as long as we're stuck in the same routine and the same mindset, we're not going anyplace. That's obvious. When a person is fortunate enough, in any whatever context, sometimes low-level people have a tragedy, sometimes people are zochet to something they expect and they feel very uplifted, or whatever, then a person is just starting. So yes, this pushed me, and now I can start making some cheshbon. I once saw a vart from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so it was really incredible vart, and later found similar ideas in different chassidus. It says, Im kesef talves am. So kesef is, in Hasidic language, kesef refers to the mid of ava, like the word kisufin, nichsof nichsafti, sort of a loshim meaning avas Hashem. In the Hasidic literature, we have the license to translate kesef as ava. When you promised the shul kesef, you do not have the right to shen senava. You have to stick to kesef kipshuto. But in pshat, it's good. He says many times a person feels a sudden spurt of inspiration. So he says, and he says, well, I'm a higher madrega. I have different sheifos. I feel different. And I'm there. So he says the mashal is somebody who's starting a business, and somebody invests or lends money. Somebody lends money, and he's lent him $1 million. So he's walking around with $1 million in his pocket, and he feels good about himself. Baruch Hashem, millionaire, it's good. But that's not your money. It's a loan, and it can build your business and generate revenue. But the money that you have here is on loan. So a smart person is very sparing with it. He invests it and does what he does with it. And then now when he has the money to give back, when the person has it back, and he has his own. Person who's a fool spends it. So he said, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu lends us kisufin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to be good to us. And we get this moment of unearned inspiration. If you understand that it's a loan, in kesef talveh, Asami, then you're in good shape. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to use it. It's a hard thing. We don't learn. It just life doesn't teach us enough to value small, slow increments. We don't feel especially good if in a year we've added on another 10 minutes of learning to our day. So a person doesn't feel and he's not inspired to do it. But if you've added on 10 minutes in a way that this is like part and parcel of yourself, then you've done something tremendous. You've changed. You actually have changed. Change is not measured by how much, but how firm is it? How immutable is it? Using the Rambam's Yesod again, that those elements that are the person himself, that doesn't change. So when we ask ourselves, what is it that should be our measure of success? It should never be on how much more, not how much more am I doing, but how solidly is whatever I'm doing different. Person has decided not to do something. It could be a small thing, but if a year's gone by and he hasn't touched it, and he hasn't done what he decided not to do, then the person is a different person. That's the measure of a person. There's a saying by the Balai Musa. It says, "Pischuli pesach shel machat." Open up a hole as big as a needle. V'ani'eflech lechem a pesach that even kakeroyas and so on that wagons can go through. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to make an opening for tshuva. And even if it's a tiny hole, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will broaden it and give us everything. So the Balai Musa say the mashal of the hole of a needle is not only that it's so small. Yes, it's very small, and the Gemara is trying to tell you it's small, but the hole is rimmed by metal. It doesn't, that hole, a needle's hole doesn't, it's not rubber. It doesn't seal itself. It doesn't kind of just about disappear. It stays. What Gnosis is saying, open up a genuine hole, a place that is firm, and then I can work with it. So the answer is yes. Pesach was extremely inspiring, and we are able maybe to have ideas and feelings that we haven't had. And that's wonderful. If we want to make it, if you want to do something with it, other than just a fleeting moment of inspiration, which usually tends to become counterproductive, because then he says, I've heard many nice drushes, I've been very inspired by Nigunim, but I'm still the same person. You are, because those things will never change you. Those things can be a catalyst for change, but real change is methodical. It's thinking first, what's the smallest thing I can do that is a change and that will really last? You're looking for for the hole of a needle, but something that in a year from now I can say it's under the radar screen of what Revolver calls his mardus. It's under the radar screen of wanting to push back. It's comfortable enough, but that change is real. And Be'ez Hashem, that's what Sphere is. Sphere Sa'oma sounds to us at first glance like we started off kind of dreary, not terribly exciting. The answer is yes, that's exactly what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to take the feelings of Pesach. We're supposed to make slow steps, consistent, day in, day out. Once there's been a certain hergel, like the Rambam says, by changing a person's middos, once we've been able to change them and change it in a way that whatever change we made is permanent, that's where we've started changing ourselves. And that's a person who's worthy, Be'ez Hashem, of Matan Torah. So we should be zeuchot to take both the inspirations that we received over Pesach and use our seichel to know who we are, understand ourselves, and choose tiny increments that can be firm, that we can be sure we keep firm. And Be'ez Hashem, as time goes on and they become who we are, a change in who we are is of a different world than changing what we do. And Be'ez Hashem, once we have that precursor to Matan Torah, like Reb Chaim Vital says, we'll be zeicher Be'ez Hashem to Matan Torah.